G'day and welcome back to the Farms Advice podcast, where we talk everything agribusiness. I hope your week's off to a flying start and you're plowing into some work at home. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already and pass it on to another farmer down the road. I'm sure they'll be able to get some value out of it. Share a screenshot of where you're listening and tag at Farms Advice and we'll share it to our community as well. Now, on this week's show, we have Stu Adam. He's come from the media and journalism side and launched into the deep end of ag tech within Australian agriculture. He is a co-founder of Agronomy alongside his partner, Tim. Stu and Tim have approached the industry in the best way possible. That's what I think, but I'm sure you'll agree as well. By actually asking farmers what they want, what their problems are, and what solution they're most likely to be able to implement on the ground level. I won't take up any more time as we get a bird's eye view with Stu from Agronomy. Welcome back to the Farms Advice podcast. Today on the show, we have Stu Adam. Stu, how you going, mate?
Very well, Jack. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. We're diving into like ag tech to join farmers to companies like yourself. Can you just introduce yourself at Agronomy and what you're doing?
Yeah, so my name's Stu Adam, the CEO and co-founder of Agronomy. My fellow co-founder, Tim Howell, as well. So we started the company about 5 years ago. It's taken a couple of iterations, as the businesses often do, especially in ag tech. And where we're at now is basically trying to advocate and push for the digitization of entire farming systems. So if we can create digital assets or digital versions of a real asset, then we're going to be in a much better position to make a whole range of decisions and engage in different markets. So, I mean, everyone talks about digital agriculture, but the one thing that's missing, we feel, is that that full landscape view at high resolution that can be used in many different ways and sort of like a modern blueprint that your top draw data set that will be used time and time again. So a digital asset at the end of the day, really.
Yeah, so something that you can refer back to make a decision off.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got, you know, we don't farm in 2D, and a lot of the imagery and a lot of the information we're getting is 2D imagery. So we're trying to go further and actually look through just at a, rather than just looking at using imagery for a field level, look at imagery and its capability. If you're capturing in high resolution, looking at that capability for the entire farming system. So let's digitize the entire boundary of the farm, look at every single aspect that you can, and look at that way in which we can use data many different times. I mean, a lot of businesses in the imagery space around that repeat capture, what we're saying is, well, if you can get a look at the farm at the right time of the year, you can actually have a fundamental foundational data set that everything else can kind of be referred back to, and you can kind of build on top of that, and that anything that can be digitized will be digitized. And I don't think farm is any exception. It's just a few challenges around the farming systems and the ag sector, which means it's a little tougher to get off the ground, so to speak. But once it's there, and I think it's definitely coming, the benefits will be pretty impressive.
Absolutely. And it's always like working through and reiterating what you're working on, you yourself as a company, but like also on the farmer's end as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, it iterates all the time. We're always looking for that constant feedback and understanding, you know, what are the problems on a day-to-day, but also what are the industry problems for, you know, the sector as a whole to engage in, say, compliance or within, you know, the carbon markets, for example, right? Like that's something that there's so much smoke at the moment. We can't quite see the fire, but where there's smoke, there's fire. Yeah. So how do you enable growers on a smaller scale to engage in some of those markets and do some of those reporting? We always hear that reporting in carbon markets is a real challenge for those small landholders. So how about we give them the tools to accurately report through digital means, which means that it's a pretty free-flowing transfer of data to the right people, so we can actually, you know, be talking the same language and accept, you know, through digital means, we can actually, you know, overcome some of these barriers to adoption.
It definitely will. It sounds amazing what you're doing, but before we get down to agribusiness, can you just introduce your background and how you got yourself into Agronomy?
Yeah, so I come from a non-agricultural background when I first got into this. I was working as a TV producer. So come from a media background, initially a journalist and then in TV production. I was working at Fox Sports as my last gig, actually working with the Matty John show, and I had a good time with those boys in making some TV and some content. So, great job. And my business partner, Tim, and co-founder, he was a commercial airline pilot. And I suppose 5 years ago, there was a little bit of noise around drones. They were starting to become more mainstream. Not so mainstream that you could just go to Kmart and buy something, but we were exploring the space, essentially, just seeing whether there was a fit in a number of different industries. Obviously, with my production background, that was a neat fit. So we started to use drones with Fox Sports so we could provide live broadcast to Fox Sports. So we fly drones around outside stadiums and produce that broadcast produce those pictures into their broadcast, and pretty quickly realized that, you know, we had a unique set of skills that was kind of limited, or, you know, not limited, our skills weren't limited, but our ability to sort of make the most of them was limited in broadcast, you know, taking a pretty picture. How can we use these for more of a tool? Myself and Tim have a lot of connections in the ag space. Actually, one of them was Craig Davies, who's the mayor of Narromine out there, and had a beer with him at a wedding and had a yarn and talking about what we were doing, and invited us out to the pub at Trangie and sat down with a whole group of growers and agronomists and sort of basically understood trying to understand their problems and the limitations with imagery and how drones could potentially play a part. 5 years ago, drones were going to be the silver bullet. So there was some pretty obvious solutions, but there was some less obvious problems that didn't make themselves evident till we stepped out into the field and started to look at it, scale and delivering, you know, at scale and repeat data sets, obviously was a challenge when you're looking at Australian ag. But that was just the general sort of natural progression. And as we started and tried to understand the problems, we saw that there was a fit potentially for imagery and high resolution imagery. And then I suppose once we started to commit, that was the last time it rained before this recent rain that we've had in Australia, but that was sort of back in 2015 when there was a bit of rain around, and since then it didn't rain, so we had 4 years and it was pretty obvious what was wrong with a cotton crop. There was no water, so you didn't really need a drone that was fairly expensive sort of to come and deploy to tell you what was wrong with your crop, you know. So and that just got us thinking, you know, if we're going to start to, you know, send drones across landscapes and data sets are only useful for, you know, a couple of days before they get tossed out, then, you know, there's got to be more intrinsic value in that resolution of data. If you're going to spend that much time and effort to send a drone and capture the imagery, well, how can we sort of look at it differently? And that was how we kind of got to the landscape view. And with the drought being as, you know, impactful negatively as it was, well, then how can we use that fundamental data set of the farm, that 3D data view, and look at algorithms that can be run? And we ended up talking with ASIRO and the guys at Data 61 and Ag and Food. And we've been using an algorithm that shows you where water flows across the entire farm. So we can do complete water models across the landscape that would then be used for, water use efficiency. So how can we help design dam catchment locations? Where are we getting erosion risks? Where should contours go in? How can we move water if there's water logging? So it was kind of that neat fit and progression, whole farm view, high resolution model. The reason to do that is the water flow analysis. And then after that, once you've got that foundational data, what other ways can you look at that data to help you with your business, your farming business and decision-making, and, you know, adding context by adding other data sets? So yeah, I mean, that's sort of the progression that we got to. And it took about 5 years. It took a couple of crashed drones, spending, you know, five hours walking through a sorghum crop looking for a fixed wing drone that had gone down. And, you know, it was a lot of understanding why drones weren't the best tool for crop health imagery necessarily in a lot of instances. And then, yeah, kind of going through, just standing out in the field, standing out in 40-degree heat in wee war with 50k/h winds, getting hammered by dust when there's a drought. Just, you know, this isn't the way forward. There's got to be a different way to look at this. And that was sort of how our hand was forced and where we got to now. And, yeah, so the best thing to us was sort of that learn, iterate cycle pretty quickly.
Yeah, great stuff. So when you initially went out to Trangie, and talk to farmers. That was like your getting feedback, finding out what the problem was so you can come up with the solution.
Yeah, exactly. And that's always been the one. Like, don't own a farm, not from a farm originally, but ability to form relationships with those guys out on the farm, whether it's a grower or agronomist, advisor, whoever it might be, and understanding what those problems were was step one, you know, like first principles. Can we go and talk to the guys on the ground, understand what their issues are, and then build a solution to fix that problem. Let's not go and try and build something in isolation and then try and take it to the market and expect the market to adopt it. You know, like, you know, a farmer's got a million different things they've got to do in their day, you know, carving off a couple of hours to make sure that they can adopt your piece of technology is just the last thing on the list. So if you've got a square peg going into a round hole in a massive system, it's not going to work. But if you can carve that square peg into a round hole and let the system keep moving and just better that system, then you're going to have a bit more success. And it was just about learning. You know, I sat in headers, you know, did soil testing, went through from cotton to vineyards, all like just spent time on the ground, just traveled, spent time on the ground, listened, learned, and then sort of iterated with those guys that we formed relationships with. And, you know, that's some of those guys that we met in training, or a number of them. You know, we talk to them on a weekly basis today. So, yeah, they're some of the most valuable discussions and, you know, some of the most enjoyable time I've had in this startup was, you know, starry-eyed talking to the growers and sort of learning and learning and learning. And, yeah, had a bit of an up and down journey since then. But, yeah, absolutely critical and still exactly the focus of the business and what we do.
Yeah, 100%. Well, like, I was surprised how many companies are actually forcing solutions onto farmers without actually listening to their problems. So it's good to see that you hit the ground running just to talk with farmers and their feedback. How, like, working with Agronomy, how does it work for a farmer? I sign up and then do you come out to the farm?
Yeah, so what we do is we deploy, once you've agreed that, you know, or once you've seen the value in Agronomy and you see a way forward, what we'll do is we'll send a plane out or a drone if it's a smaller plot of land. Yeah. We'll send a unit out to capture the data. Sometimes the data already exists, which is a good thing. But if that doesn't exist, we send the plane out, capture the data. So whether that's, you know, photogrammetry, so taking thousands of photos as the plane flies overhead, and then converting that into a, you know, 2.5 or 3D model with the imagery, or using LiDAR, for example. LiDAR is a really valuable sort of next-gen sort of data capture capability, setting, you know, to capture these really rich models. Process those models. We then digitize or, you know, classify the entire farm. So we can identify every single tree. We'll give every tree on the farm an ID. We do roads, buildings, dams, fields, all that sort of stuff. That's a really important step to make sure we classify the entire farming system. And then we run an algorithm over the top of it with our partnership with CSIRO, where we can track flow of water across the landscape. So you get your 3D model, the classification of all the features, and the water model. And then we deliver that to you just through an online application. So obviously some of those data sets are really technical and really chunky. So sending data around is not practical. So we just host it on the cloud, and then you just get a login through your whatever web provider you choose. It's just a tab on your browser. Log in, and you've logging into your farm. You're logging into that really rich 3D version of your farm that you can, you know, throw an analysis at. And then from there, it's about, you know, you can start to do measurements, whether that's cut and fill assessments to assess the feasibility, share that information with people that might not be, you know, in your local area that you want consultants to come and have a look at. You can use it for real estate purposes. If you're selling a property, you can use it for compliance as well. So basically, once you have that login and you can share that with anyone, so, you know, whether it's over a Zoom or a Skype or anything like we're doing now, and just share that screen and, yeah, away you go.
Good stuff. So when you're flying the drone over, is that remote or you're on property, on farm?
A drone's on property, yep. And then a plane is remote. So with those smaller land holders, you can get much more rich data and much more cost effective from a drone. And that's where they have their fit. And then once you get it to scale, it's about using the planes, and the planes will just go from a local airport and out and get up in the air and rip into it and do that sort of lawn mile pattern, pick up the data, send it to us. process it, create the models, and then run all the analysis off the back of it. It's that sort of capture, analyze, deliver business model.
Yeah, excellent. So for farmers, what's the benefits of mapping your farm versus not mapping? We're coming into more digital. What can a farmer gain from it?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, that idea that I've floated, you know, across this conversation is that if you've got a digital version of something, you're better off than not, right? Who knows exactly what the paths you're going to take to you know, gain benefit, which is also a challenging conversation. You know, you have, what is the direct ROI? Well, you know, two different farmers on the same plot of land might have different ways in which they interact or they want to do things, and the ways in which they will sort of realize the benefits will differ. But if you have that digital version of the asset, it's up to you essentially. So, you know, whether, like I said before, doing financial feasibilities on sort of developments of farms, and that's what we're trying to do, is help farmers fundamentally improve their landscape.
Yep.
You know, sometimes it's more about putting a variable rate application of a input down, and sometimes it's about sort of mitigating that problem from the base level, the fundamental level, and that's the asset. So that's that incumbent to try and help them improve their asset fundamentally, but then also open them up to all these different other channels, like I've mentioned, whether that's through audit for carbon or natural capital purposes, compliance, ease of use for reporting, sharing of information across, you know, time and space. You've got, you know, the best consultant in a particular farming system might not be the guy that's, you know, in your local area. It might be someone that's sort of a long way away, and that tyranny of distance can get shortened very quickly by using digital means. So there's a range of different cases. A lot of what we do is focused on the water piece, so trying to help farmers make more informed decisions and give them clarity and confidence that the decision that they're making is the right one. And a lot of what we do is we'll show a grower their farm, we'll, you know, put all that data in place and share it with them, and that'll give them that confidence. It's not so much that there's a huge light bulb that goes on that, you know, sets them on this completely different path, but more that that is a confidence go, no go. And I don't think that that's, you know, generally what ag tech should be setting out to do, which is take a, you know, a grower from where they are today and fundamentally change everything they do, but give them the tools to do better. And I think that that's, you know, at the core, what agronomy is trying to do is say, you didn't have this information before, you now have that info. Is that decision that you're going to make still valid? And if it is, then awesome. Now you've got that clarity and confidence to commit, go and make it happen. And if there's some data there that says, oh, maybe that's not the right decision, well, then you've mitigated that error, or, you know, you're further along the path than you were previously.
I think that's great. But, like, touching back onto carbon, one of the speakers I had previously, Stuart Austin, he just linked up with Microsoft for carbon credits. How, like, further down the track, how would we be able to measure carbon, like storing of carbon, to become the net zero by 2050 or even earlier?
Yeah, look, I think that digital technologies have a massive role to play, right? Like, I think that and that fundamental assessment of the landscape is really critical. So what is the farm at a given point in time? Like, let's benchmark farms really accurately with rich data. Yeah. So getting a look at the landscape and what that water does, and then how can you then decide on where a carbon project might be best suited on your property? And that's just through rich data sets like agronomy can provide. How can we benchmark for how many native trees are on the property? What are the heights of those trees? You know, all that really detailed information about benchmarking of properties. Because then once we have those measurement tools, then we can actually take a pretty significant step forward in some of those markets. I think that what we're seeing at the moment is, you know, the institutions and these people that want to buy these carbon credits, and you've got the bigger landholders which can kind of afford it, but these smaller landholders don't have the tools or the capability to sort of cross that bridge through measurement capabilities in a you know, economic way.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can have people go out there and measure every tree, but that's not going to be economic when you have to, you know,
recoup those costs in your digital.
Nah. So how can we use really simple tools that you're using for another purpose and get all these other co-benefits out of? And I think that's where agronomy comes in and sort of can help. It's not going to be the silver bullet that changes everything, but I think it's going to be a significant step forward to enable people to engage in those measurement tools and making sure that those tools are accredited. This is the way that they've been captured. This is what they're telling you. And then having partners that can then sort of push that data through to the regulators to say, well, yep, you get this many carbon credits because of these measurements. And then we're now into that market. And at the moment, like I say, I keep going back to it, for those smaller landholders, struggle in that space because they're just not, they don't have the measurement tools, and the corporates aren't going to forgive them for that. They're going to want to see it. They're going to want to know what the hard and fast sort of numbers are so they can have protection. So that's sort of, I think, where the measurement of, you know, these digital measurements will come into play.
Yeah, that's it. If we as farmers can't actually supply the corporates that are wanting to offset their credit so we can benefit, they're not going to go to someone that doesn't have the measurements or whatnot, and they're not going to wait 6 months for you to go measure trees.
No, exactly right. So if you've already got something, that sort of top draw data set, that digital version of your real asset, then that digital asset can start to tell you things about the farm that are really important for these sorts of markets and can advance that forward. And, you know, you combine that with other means, you know, obviously the soil testing and some of the technologies in that space are coming out. So you can, you know, take that information, that spatial data you get from those services and put them in context of your farm by overlaying that data in 3D. So you can start to see trends and relationships between elevation, water, type, all that sort of stuff becomes far more rich when you have these this digital foundation to build on top of.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good one, connecting up the relationship of the water and the different other elements to bring it all together into one so you can make a bit better decision than you would without it. So
yeah, context,
that's it. So for Agronomy, what type of farmers are using it? Are we like cropping, livestock, mix?
Yeah, everything, right? So yep. We've got farmers that are sort of broadacre ag. We've got clients that are in really hilly livestock country. We've got vineyards, irrigated growers in northern New South Wales. So yeah, I think any farmer has the capacity to benefit from Agronomy, which is really exciting for us as a business. Yeah. It is, yeah, like I say, if once you digitize that agricultural asset, it doesn't matter what ag asset we're talking about here. It's all of them. So we see benefits, you know, you'd see in, say, really hilly livestock country around water flow, sort of mitigate erosion, so stopping that land from degrading, or in irrigated country, is that water, you know, efficiently moving from one end of the field to the other, and is that sort of irrigation system optimized? So at either ends of the spectrum, you get value there.
Yeah, definitely. When you're looking at a paddock for like water flow, if you can change that by a couple of percent and increase the efficiency on that, you could save tens of thousands later in the track, especially for irrigators.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we've done some work with guys up in Weewaw. The Carl family up there looking at doing some redesign of fields that were done from 1970 when the first generation set up the farm, and the way that was done was inefficient. So taking a portion of the data set and analysing that, understanding, you know, what does the new most optimised system look like and how much earth needs to be moved to get there, and then kind of doing cut fill analysis to then take to your earthworks contractor, get a quote, make sure you've got that financial feasibility that you're going to be in front after you've done a project, as opposed to sort of on the edge or behind.
Great stuff. So for like on the end of drought, did you do any remodeling for farmers looking to improve their line of water course to capture water for livestock or for runoff?
Yes. So we've got a couple of clients that are in that space, and a lot of it is around trying to, you know, prevent that erosion from happening, so their water for their livestock isn't compromised by a lot of topsoil running off, all that type of stuff. And then understanding, you know, were the contours that they put in, are they still working? Are they efficient? Is there any breakages? Are we getting any inefficiencies in that space? So, we've done a bit of mapping off the back of, you know, obviously the impact of the drought. That is definitely a focus for people to now see the impact that it had and how can they sort of use digital tools to mitigate that risk down the line. How can they prevent us from going into drought earlier and coming out of drought sooner? Because those impacts are, as we know, as we keep hearing, are going to keep coming at us. So how can we use tools to throw that knowledge and give us confidence that what we're doing is the right thing going forward for the landscape? And like I said, fundamentally improving the landscape. Unless we're fundamentally improving that land, those problems are going to keep rearing their head. And that's sort of what we're trying to do, is cut off that cause.
Yeah, definitely. And looking at the sustainability of farming, it's a big topic of late. And then improving that for the next 10 years, you can really start to enhance your own property.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's about that context. You know, one piece of data isn't necessarily the right, not that it's not the right piece of data to use to make a decision, but when you have that context and you have that information stack and you've got that really detailed look at the farm and the way the water moves, and then you can see these relationships being pretty well evident through imagery. And then from there, you can start to take that next step in the process. If you don't, you know, from first principle, know the first principle of the problem, then you're going to sort of probably run up against an ill-informed decision at some point along the line. Maybe that won't bite you in the ass down the track, but maybe it will. Better off with it than without it.
Yeah, 100%. So for Agronomite, for yourself and Tim, what's the next big project coming up?
The next big project, there's some I can't talk about, which is a good thing, talking with some, dealing with some big organisations and some pretty lofty goals that we've got to sort of digitise some pretty significant chunks of land in Australia, and sort of trying to run these data sets at scale. I think if we can create scale around the business, like I said, the heavy lifting of capturing the data makes it a real challenge. But if we can do that at scale and tap some of these existing data pools, then we're going to be able to significantly progress the business and offer, you know, this impact to a really targeted set of farmers that will be able to give us that feedback and create those use cases that will demonstrate that value in really tangible ways. So that's the next step, is to sort of take this from where it is and early adopters to the next phase, and sort of ride that wave of all this convergence of, say, whether it's around the carbon or whether it's around water use efficiency and, you know, drought relief and all that sort of stuff, and prove that Agronomy has a really valuable fit in that, and show the ways in which our early adopters and then our second wave and next wave of clients are really gaining benefit, because early signs are really positive, and that's why we're in this position to sort of have some of these projects that I can't say too much about now, but hopefully we'll be able to, you know, push into the market really, really soon and you know, with impact. I think it's all about impact, right? Like, we've got to be able to prove that this works for a lot of people, and it's about making it available to the larger market in Australia, because we're all experiencing a lot of the same problems in the ag market. So if we can kind of create a solution that helps those core problems, then I see a pretty good future for us and, you know, our clients as well. This is all about making it better for the clients. The end user is the absolute pinnacle for us, and we never forget it.
Actually, it sounds like you're a bit like a duck through the water, still up top but paddling mad down below.
I don't think that ever stops, does it?
No, not at all. But like, for you guys, for like, you've just been hit by a good 4-year drought. You've been going for 5 years. I don't think you've seen the best of it yet. So sounds like you're really hitting the mark there.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope that's the way. And I mean, starting 2021 has been a real breath of fresh air with some of this support. We've had some funding for the business as well, which is important for ag tech startups. I mean, there's really long sales cycles as well. So that expectation that you're going to put something in the market, it's just going to go, and then all your financial problems will be solved. It's just, you know, for us especially, and I think for a lot of guys that we talk to and we deal with a lot of ag tech companies, we're very big on collaboration. That's just not the case. So the expectation of really long cycles and having some support financially behind us, and then showing that value to our, you know, big project partners, means that this year has been great. So hopefully you're right, and that the last 4 years has been a hard slog, but we're starting to sort of reap some of those rewards and take a bit of that day-to-day pressure off as well.
Definitely. Well, it's great to get some consistency. I hope it's looking green outside at the moment, so hopefully we can get a good follow-on from that. At least a year or two of good rain would be decent.
Would you?
Absolutely. Well, Stu, thank you for coming on the podcast today. It's great to have you on. One question I ask all guests is, who else would you like to hear on the Farms Advice podcast, and why?
I guess coming from an ag tech lens, I'd like to talk to or hear from farmers that have actually implemented some technologies and seen the benefits, right? Like, yep. I think that we got to praise those early adopters and hear their stories, because rising tide lifts all boats, in my opinion. And if we can hear about guys that have interacted with ag tech, had success, and got those tangible results, I'd love to hear from them, mate. So if you can keep beating the drum for this part of the sector and tell them the good news stories, because they're out there, mate, I'd love to hear them.
Absolutely. Well, I'm pushing for adapt and adopt. If it doesn't work for you, pass it on and then try find another thing. There's a lot of great ag tech out there, but you just got to implement it and then find out how it's working. And there's a lot of free trials yourself. Do you have something going for Agronomy for coming on board? How can people sign up to you?
Yeah, look, you can just reach out to us. We've got some, obviously, at Agronomy and at Agronomy at Twitter. And then you can just hit me as well, stu@agronomy.com.au. We can have those discussions around how it might work for you and your farm, whether you're a small landholder or some of the bigger operators up in Queensland, Northern Territory. We're doing work with everyone. So if you just want to learn more, always open for a chat. And then as some of these projects unroll, we'll start to hit certain sections of the market and you'll hear more from us.
Definitely, and start getting that data stacked, but not only just like storing your data and using it to be better off in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and we're patient, right? I think that everyone has to be in this space. Patience is key, but having a really targeted way forward is the most important.
That's it. Well, say g'day to Tim for me. We'll have to meet you further on down the line, but it's great to have you on the show today, mate.
Beauty, Jack. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Farm Spice podcast. I hope you've got some value out of it. I know it's great to have Stu on today. He's a different type of ag tech that we've had on the show, so it's great to have diversity throughout. So thanks, Stu, for coming on the show. Really good to have you, mate. And don't forget to listen to our weekly wraps. Been a bit lackluster, but we'll get there and we'll try to get one out every week at the end of the week. So like, comment and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Farms Advice for further motivation to grow your agribusiness. See you next time.